Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome today to an extension of our study which we've been doing, and it mostly concerns the church and what they ought to do and what they should be doing in this end time. Now, you know, of course, sometimes we tell you things about end times, but also at other times we tell you things about what the church ought to be doing. But before we get into the continuation of the message, I just want to discuss something here. As always, I'm with Evangelist John Paul Akena. And there is a revolution, silent, happening in Africa, especially yes. French-speaking Africa. I don't know if you've noticed, but it started in Niger, where a president who was a very self-serving and French-serving,
yes.
you know, dictator, overthrew the constitution and so on, and was serving the interests of France, was overthrown by the military and arrested and put in some kind of custody. And the military took over and have been in control in the country of Niger. Now, of course, that has happened before, but the question is, where does it go from there? Because usually France had even sometimes placed their troops there because they know that they need those West African countries to stay in their servitude, almost like servants, for a while. So now what happened, Niger, is France threatened, gave them 2 weeks deadline in which to reinstate the president. They basically told them off. Then the U.S. Deputy Secretary Nuland went there and tried to talk to them, threatened they are canceling U.S. aid, and the Niger leadership, which is led by the army leadership, told America that you keep your aid, you can use it to finance your homeless people. We don't need your aid. And now she left there, basically, also very embarrassed. Now France also has also been kicked out. Actually, the French people and soldiers who were there were given a period to flee the country, leave the country. We no longer want France. Now, all those were very bold steps. The question is, where do they go from there? Now, they went and they told ECOWAS, which is the Economic Community of West African Nations, but which is more than an economic community, that they should organize troops to go and attack Niger and reinstate the president. So what happened is Niger closed its airspace and got ready to fight. And now, what I think what happened thereafter is what determined so many other things that were going to happen. First of all, the next country that actually moved in the same direction was Burkina Faso, who said they are canceling the treaty they have had in 1967 with France. They are cancelling it and basically almost delinking from French monopoly. Now, what happens is France has had an agreement with all these West African nations in which all the money they collect, they give a huge percentage of it to France, almost as much as 60 or 70% in some cases. I think ranges from 50 to 70%. They take it straight to France, and if they need the money, it is given to them as loans. And it is some kind of, they're telling them that they are paying for being colonized. They entered into an agreement at independence that they have to pay the French for all those years they were in their countries, developing them. So in other words, we helped you develop, so now you have to pay us. And now that those agreements have been there since the 1960s, in the case of Burkina Faso, since 1967. So now that's why those West African countries, and I've been to so many of them in my days as a journalist, they are, you look at them and you see a certain level of poverty. You think we have poverty here, but some of those nations are terrible. You look and you see there's something terribly wrong in all those French West African nations. So now, suddenly, instead of ECOWAS trying to isolate Niger, who had taken this thing of chasing out the West and so on, actually now Burkina Faso went that direction. And now it was like, now it seems to be catching on. Now, the third country, which apparently even decided that they are removing, actually, Burkina Faso was the third country. So now there is a complete, I call it decolonization of West Africa from the French. And I see it as a positive thing for a number of reasons. First of all, because they have been exploited very badly. And secondly, because also, France has been part of a new world order and what they want to be. And so Mali was the second one to move in that direction. Mali dropped French as its national language. Then Burkina Faso
also went there.
Also went in that direction, cancelling the agreements, the 1967 thing. Eh?
Yes.
So now this is becoming interesting.
Yes.
And now people have been seeing comments all across, especially in Europe, especially American people, saying finally the decolonization of Africa is happening.
Mm.
Now, Burkina Faso said, they said that they're canceling French aid.
Mm.
He said, you've been giving us aid for 63 years and we're still underdeveloped.
Yes.
Maybe it's time you stopped and we see how we can do things on our own. And now that was not the response they were expecting.
Mm.
And now all these things which are happening in one country are spreading across as a revolution. For instance, it's the whole anti-homosexuality thing started in Uganda.
Yes.
But the next thing I knew, even other African countries also took the same step. Ghana was one of them. Even Kenya, who had accepted the homosexual thing, now they started reviewing it.
Yeah, looking.
Looking into it and wanting to overturn it.
Mm.
So I think now the West is really scared that something starts small, like the issue of Niger, which they thought they could scare them.
Yes.
And it suddenly doesn't work out.
Yes.
Then the next thing you know, not only is it not working out in Niger, other African countries
are joining.
And now it's I think it's just a matter of time before others, Senegal and all the others, because Gambia, they've been overly exploited by the French.
Mm.
Actually, former France president, Jacques Chirac, said that if they lose control of Africa, the French economy would collapse. Because they control all their minerals, they control every resource that is there, then they get all that percentage of money.
Basically,
they have been sucking Africa dry. The one country that is standing on Africa is France. They have been sucking Africa dry for more than in excess of 60 years. But now that seems to be coming to an end. And it all started in Niger. And I pray God that Niger stays firm and sticks to their guns, so that ultimately this revolution catches on.
Yes.
Because I feel that it's time for Africa now to move away from those people.
Yes, yes.
Because, first of all, they are spreading agendas which are not of God.
Yes.
They are spreading their homosexuality, they are spreading the transgender thing, and they're doing it forcefully.
Yes.
Now, World Bank came up and said that Uganda should not expect any more money from it, because the anti-homosexuality bill goes against them. The trouble with Uganda, of course, is we have very greedy leaders who cannot stand firm for anything.
Yeah,
They will not stand firm for anything. But now these people said, you've been giving us aid all these years.
Yes.
It has not helped us. Maybe it's about time we took control of our own affairs.
Mm.
Maybe that will help. Because if something is not working and
it
has not worked for 63 years, what makes anybody think that it is suddenly going to work, that you can't do without it?
Yeah.
Anyhow, that has been happening in Africa, in West Africa, the decolonization of West Africa, especially from the grip of France.
Yes.
France has been such a tormentor of all its former colonies in Africa.
That's true.
Like, it's not like Britain.
Mm.
Britain, of course, they did things, of course, which made sure that we will always serve them.
Mm.
But France, it was so clear, it was so brazen. I've never seen anything like it.
Mm.
Total, complete exploitation. Now, what they do, they get a leader who is there, who is their puppet, like the one who was overthrown in Niger. And now he serves all their interests, does everything, and he does not care about his people.
Yeah, the people.
At all.
Mm.
Now, if the leader starts getting the idea that, let me become a champion of the people, and actually turn the resources of our people to the people.
Yes.
Suddenly, he's assassinated.
Mm.
They've done that to so many African presidents, starting, of course, with Thomas Sankara, the guy from Burkina Faso, whom they assassinated and replaced him with a puppet of theirs called Blaise Compaoré, who did all their bidding for all these years until he was... Now, Burkina Faso coming up and saying, no,
it is,
we do not want you, French, even in your... Now, you could see that...
They're standing strong on what they want.
Yes, and see, by the time somebody goes that distance, it seems that it has gotten to their throat.
Yeah.
They are tired of everything to do with France.
Mm.
Anyhow, let's see how that goes. I was just giving you that news. I'll tell you why it is significant in this end time for a number of reasons.
I remember there was a time when you taught us about how the moves of God were in different continents.
Mm.
But right now, God is focusing on Africa.
Yes.
And actually, I believe this, which we are seeing in Africa happening, it is that which the Lord is moving. When you speak about the move of God, sometimes we may think about moving only in the church, but literally it may not really be only in the church. It actually be in all the spheres of life, being it political, in health, and everywhere.
And you see, that's true. And also, the thing is, when God moves, he is moving for the benefit of the people, even those who don't love him.
Yes.
So now, when there is poverty, you know that at least the move of God has not been accepted.
Yes.
Because in all those countries where the move of God actually went, the first thing that happened was wealth.
Yes.
Now, one of the most secular countries in the world, perhaps even the most, is South Korea. Now, South Korea, we are poor. You remember they've said that how they were richer than them at some stage. In 1960s, even early 70s. But what happened at the time in South Korea, there was a move of God led by a man called Paul Yonggi Cho, which really transformed the country. Now, when the move of God comes and transforms the country, I mean, and people become born again, it affects the whole economy of that country.
Yes.
And eventually, South Korea went on a trajectory.
Yes.
Now, at the time, when Idi Amin here was busy expelling, making decisions, expelling Asians, I'm not going to go into that. But when he was, that's not what I'm interested in. I don't even think it has any specific impact here. But when he was busy, number one, burning the church.
Yes.
You remember what he was persecuting the church, saying that only certain faiths are
allowed, and
born agains were not allowed and what. South Korea was busy expanding their born again thing.
Yes.
So now you might say that, Uganda lagged behind. Always it starts with God. I don't know. People don't understand that the blessing of the Lord makes rich. You know, blessed is the nation whose God is the
Lord. Yes.
Now it just takes a critical minority. Majority would be good, but even if there are a number of people within the country who declare that this nation belongs to God, then the blessing comes. Blessed is that nation. Now, that's what happened with South Korea. Now, the blessing of God to happening in the things that you see happening here, they always start in the church.
Yes.
The church comes up, does something significant, which makes God look and say, okay, now, because of what is happening in the church, the nation has to be blessed because of the church.
Yes.
The church is not blessed because of the nation.
No.
Now, what happens with dictators like ours here is they try to put the church in a place where it is the nation which helps the church.
Mm.
And then the pastors are busy running to the president for money.
Yes.
Big mistake.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Yes.
Because that nation will never be blessed.
No.
It is blessed when it comes from the church. Anyhow, so the whole thing is the church has to be the focus where it starts from.
Yes.
Now, people who understand spirituality, demonic spirituality, like our president here, know that as if they want to be, they have to keep the church under. So they will get the money, use it to divide pastors, use it to turn one after the other, then they are funding this one to go. And they know what they are doing.
Yes.
Because as long as the church does not have some form, it doesn't have to be complete unity.
Yeah.
Some element of unity.
Yes.
Which if they came out and they came and said that now, we are dedicating and completely without any, president or what, without any demonic people.
Yes.
Yeah? And they come out as church, as believers. They can determine the course of this country.
Very much.
And I'll tell you this. So I go so many places and people tell me that you Barokore are the ones who are responsible for keeping Museveni in Uganda for all this long. They mean it in a different way.
Yes.
They mean it by saying that we are the ones who elect him.
Mm.
Okay, at least largely it's the, But that's how they mean it.
Yes.
But it is true, but not in the way they mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's true in a different way.
Yes. Mm. It's true in the way that they have allowed themselves to be under and to be governed and like them not being on top.
Mm.
Remember, like the scripture says that in the days of Samuel, he is the one who anointed
the kings.
The kings.
Mm.
So that's how it's supposed to be. The priestly ministry or the church has to be on top, and then the leaders has to follow.
Yes.
That's how it's supposed to be.
Exactly. But now when the politicians make themselves on top of the church, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And that's why those people are. When they say that, I keep quiet.
Yes.
Because they are right, but not in the way they think.
Yes.
They are right in a certain way. Because the church will never understand its power as long as it keeps itself subservient to politics. And under politics and controlled by politics. They will never understand the true power of it. I remember there's a man of God in Nigeria, a powerful man of God, whom I won't mention his name, but anyhow, but the president came and told him that he visited his church.
Yes.
Big, 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 massive church. And told him that, how can I help, your church? The pastor said that the day I receive any help from you is the day that you will not need me. You will not need my advice.
Yeah.
He says, Mr. President, You ask me how I can help you.
Yeah.
You cannot help me. You are not in position to help me.
Yes.
I am the one who is in position to help you.
Yes.
Now, the day we have a pastor telling the president that, then you know that Uganda is liberated.
Yeah.
The pastor told him outright in front of a congregation. Mm. Guy comes and says, how can I help you? He says, no.
Mm.
You ask how I can help you.
Yeah.
Because I serve God,
yes,
the highest authority.
Yes.
Mm. There is nothing you can do to help me.
Yes.
I don't need your help.
Yes.
You need my help on the other hand.
Mm.
So you ask me to pray for you.
Yeah.
And then that's how I can help you. But otherwise, I don't need your help.
Mm.
Now, I say, now, these are people who understand the power of their God.
Mm.
The power of the God they serve.
Yes.
Now, when they call you and how can I help you, then you start giving all your details as if you serve a poor God.
Yes.
Anyway, but that has all largely been because of some of the issues which are happening here. Now, the truth is, Africa, God has a plan in this entire for us.
Yes.
Throughout all the generations, we have been exploited, you know, stolen from, slaves taken, and so on.
Yes.
But God is a God of justice.
Yes.
Before the end wraps up, there is a move here which is going to make Africa be on top.
Yeah,
and let nobody deceive you that the move of God in the end time is going to start from anywhere else apart from Africa. And I'm not speaking that because I'm an African. I know it. It is not starting anywhere. It's not patriotic.
Yes.
It's not even based on what? My love for the continent.
Yes.
It is based on my knowledge that everything is happening here. Mm-hmm. And when it starts there, it spreads even into other areas which are not even of what you would call, which you would call secular.
Yeah.
It even goes into music. Now, if you see the way African music is being celebrated across the world, now those are things which Jesus said that the things of this world teach you the things of what?
The kingdom.
Of the kingdom. Now, those are things where you say, how come suddenly, even let's say, even African secular music is being played all across.
Yes.
And I'm talking about secular music, which is, you know, played in discotheques across Europe and America. Mm. Now, whoever thought that was possible? Then, worship.
Yes.
African worship.
Worship.
Songs.
Yes.
Being sung across,
yes,
you know. So, there is a move which is focusing on Africa.
Yes.
But it had so far not yet touched the politics.
Yes.
But now, I am suspecting it is beginning to touch the politics.
Yes, with like what we are seeing.
Are seeing right now.
Yeah.
And this can only mean good news. Because God cannot liberate you when you still have a fist on top of you.
Mm.
He has to first break the yoke.
Yes.
By the anointing. As Isaiah 10:27 says.
Yes.
Break the yoke of the French. Break the yoke of the word by the anointing.
Yes.
And then now you on your own. Then you can be blessed on your own. Great things here happening in Africa. It wasn't part of what we wanted to talk about here. But I felt it was, because I've been following it, and I was actually very, very excited about it, because it shows that it's not going to be business as usual.
No.
Now, those people have come, the usual thing, the Americans come, threaten withdrawal of aid, and then suddenly everything is done.
Yeah.
Then they come, they say that we are going to give the president an aeroplane, what the usual things.
Yes.
They have tried that, it has failed
in
Niger. And I hope it continues to fail.
Yes.
And I hope we have presidents who are finally concerned about the welfare of their people.
Mm.
Not just getting favors from the West for their personal needs.
Yes.
And then they sell the whole country to foreign interests.
Yeah.
That is going to change. I'm very, very optimistic that that is going to change.
Yeah.
Even here,
it
is going to change.
Very well.
Actually, not even here. Here, it is going to change.
Mm.
So, beware that the affairs of a nation are run by God.
Yes.
They are not run by politicians. They are run by God.
Yeah.
And God's constituency on earth is
the church.
The church. So it starts in the church.
Yes.
When you have leaders like that pastor in Nigeria who tells the president, there is nothing you can do to help me.
Yes.
I don't need your help.
Yes.
You, on the other hand, need my help.
Yes.
Then you know that the church has started to understand the God whom they serve.
Mm.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, now give us a wrap of what we were talking about last 2 weeks, very briefly.
Okay, we started by talking about 3 John 2, which says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper, just as your soul prospers.
Mm.
Actually says, Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers.
Mm.
So the kind of prosperity that you will have in your health, in your financial life, everywhere, it's according to how your soul has prospered and how your soul can accommodate that.
Mm.
And we also spoke about how we can actually begin to make sure that our souls prospers, which of course we spoke about, that every day your soul requires a purpose, requires a song, requires a word. And actually on the word And the last part of it, which is the word, is where we actually dwell so much, which I think that's in the last message. Now, we spoke about that the word is the seed of God. And that seed is everything that you need, because God has already done all things, because God has saved your spirit. The salvation which you have received in Christ is in our spirit.
Our spirit is as prosperous as can be,
yes.
Is as perfect, is as as we read 1 Corinthians 6:17, which says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with the Lord.
Yes.
Now, you are one spirit with the Lord.
Yes.
So your spirit is perfect. Now, the purpose of all this is to draw out from what is in your spirit and bring it into your objective, like the life here which you lead.
Yes.
Now, drawing it out of your spirit into the life you lead.
Yes.
And the path from the spirit into the life you lead
is the soul.
Is the soul.
Uh-huh. Yes. So now the salvation which is required right now is the salvation of the soul. And when your soul prospers, when your soul receives that which is from the spirit, it will now bring out that life. The prosperity you need is already in your spirit. You just need to draw it. And there's only one way you draw it, by the word which God has given us in the promises in the scripture.
Okay.
So you can get that word, as we spoke about last time, and then you take time and chew on it and make sure that the word fills you and prospers your soul. And once your soul is prospered, then, therefore, your life will turn out to be the same way the word is.
Let me tell you, I learned that when you tell somebody something big, let's say, and I'll give you an example. Let's say if you come and say that there was this person who was suffering from leukemia. Leukemia is blood cancer.
Yes.
And was given, was left with a few weeks to live. And they were healed by the power of God instantly. And they woke up, stood up and walked.
Yes.
Now, the level to which you believe something like that depends on the word that is inside you.
Yes.
Now, if you are somebody who doesn't have the word of God inside you, say, are you sure? Are you sure? How did that happen? What? Then you know that that's because you don't have the word dwelling in you. Now, somebody who has the word might not even have experienced that miracle or might not even have experienced a miracle that big.
Yes.
But because their soul is full of the word, it can accommodate big things.
Yes.
So when you tell somebody that, somebody who was once poor is now, this powerful person, and if somebody's soul is big enough and is filled with the word of God, they will believe.
Very well.
I say, I know, I know God is capable of doing that.
Yes.
Now, if somebody starts doubting and say, are you sure I did not go underwater? Are you sure what?
Yes.
Then you know that your God is underwater.
Yes.
Because you see, there are so many people who call themselves believers, but they don't believe that God can prosper people.
Yes.
They believe God's way is poverty.
Yes.
Now, those are the people we are trying. And you know why they believe that? It's because they don't have the word of God inside them. When the word dwells inside you, you believe things which other people find difficult to believe. You find it so easy to believe.
Yes.
Yeah, so God healed somebody who was on the deathbed. I know. You might never have seen it.
Yes.
But the fact that your word is, you know that these things are within the realm of experience.
Yes.
You have a certain, then of course that's the first place you start before you experience it.
Yes.
Now, before, have you ever seen people who get angry when they see a man of God who is rich? It's because they don't have the word in them. So what comes out is jealousy.
Yes.
Now, when somebody has the word in them, and you see a man who is serving God and is rich, and for you, you're broke, you say, but we serve the same God. If he did it for Akena, he can do it for me. Now, because the word is inside you, your soul is big, your faith is high, so you find it so much easier to say, hey, so you mean Akena is now driving a jet? Now also me, I can drive a jet because we serve the same God.
Yes.
And now that is the attitude that takes you from point A to point B.
Yes.
If your attitude is, are we sure? What has he must have what? He's a mufere, what? And okay, there are some people who have a fere and all that. But the point is, if your first instinct
is negative,
you know you have a problem.
Yes.
You don't have the word dwelling in you. And that happened to me one day. I think I've told that story. When I went, I was in South Africa. And watching the World Cup in 2010. And now this man came and, you could see he was rich, and but he's a fairly elderly man. So somebody told me his name, and he's a man who is known here. I used to see cars with his names on private number plates, with his name on. So I knew him to be like, a rich person in this city. So they told me that's the guy. I'd just seen, this is his house, what, So he told me that's the guy. Then I looked at him and I said, those guys, those are the people who worship the devil. What?
Mm.
Then afterwards, that was the first thought that came to me.
Mm.
That those are like devil worshippers. Then later on, I realized that the guy is actually born again.
Wow.
And I even got to know the church he attends here in town.
Wow.
And I know the pastor to be a man of God.
Yes.
And I was ashamed of myself. Mm. I was so ashamed of myself that I said, clearly, I am not ready to be prospered.
Yes.
Because if I am still prosperity to the devil, then I have a big problem.
Yes.
And now the difference is, for me, I acknowledge a problem immediately.
Yeah.
And I go around solving it.
Yeah.
So now when that happened, and I realized that I'm in big trouble, I went and now started, you know, reviewing my own self.
Mm.
And said, do I really believe that God can take me from point A to point? Mm. And the answer was, I did not. I wanted to believe it, but I did not really believe it.
Yes.
So now I went and started eating the word, especially the word concerning prosperity, the word concerning, financial, you know, abundance and so on.
Mm.
I even got a book and I would write one scripture in that book, one page, another page, another page, because I was told that when you write something, the process of writing makes it easier for you to, you know, just like if you take notes somewhere, it's easier for you to remember.
Yes.
So now when I started writing, I am a child of God.
Mm.
I deserve the best in this world because my God is rich and what. And after some time, I actually started feeling that I deserve the best. At first, I felt I know those who have the best. Now, if you are still in a place where you attribute everything good to the devil, you are in serious trouble.
Yeah.
You should go and start reading the Bible.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying that there are not people who are in, you know, who have opulent lives who serve the devil.
Mm.
They are there. But there are also those who serve God, who live opulent lives. So focus on those who serve God and live opulent lives. And you'll also start seeing the same result in your life. That is the first step. And what that shows your soul is, now, when I was writing down these words and speaking, and what was I doing? I was expanding my soul.
Mm.
Now, I pray, prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now, I was prospering my soul, expanding my soul.
Yes.
So that my soul was able to receive the wonderful things that God has in store for me.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, also last time we spoke about the thing of the kingdom of God, which Jesus described the kingdom of God.
Yes. It's in,
Mark chapter 4.
Mm.
Verse
26. It says, and he said to them, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night, and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how, for the earth yields crop by itself, first the blade, then the head, and after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come.
Okay, just describe for us what is he saying there.
He says that in all this, I'll even bring it a little bit elaboratory for us to understand, that when you begin sowing this word, because now he says the seed is now the word, which is in the scriptures, which you get and you meditate and you use it to expand your soul. Now, he says that when you begin doing that, there you are as the kingdom, you are scattering seed into your soul, which is your ground. And when you do that, your only other work which is left to do is to put in the sickle, which is when the harvest has come. But there is a system which he has put in the soil or in the ground to make sure that it brings forth that seed which you have sown. So the only thing you are supposed to do is to make sure you put in, you sow the seed into the earth, the ground, using that word, and you meditate on it, you pray on it, you see yourself in the word, and there you are sowing. Once it's sown, then you just go and sleep, like what he says here, that he puts in, after sowing the seed, he goes and sleeps. And then what will happen is, the harvest will come, and it starts first the blade, then the head.
Comes progressively.
Progressively.
You don't come from speed 0 to 100 like a Ferrari.
Yes.
In a few seconds, you grow up. And now the thing is, if you, number one, I've told you, if you feel that, if you ascribe good things to the devil, you are in serious trouble. It means you do not serve a good God. You serve a God whom you don't know.
Mm.
your God is poor.
Yes.
The way you know him. Number two, if you are the kind of person who feels that people are wasting money, somebody is wasting money, oh, he's wasting money. Why? Now, anybody who tells you that somebody is wasting money, who is a believer, and he's not talking about government money or public money.
Yes.
He's talking about personal money.
Personal.
And if you came and let's say Akena bought a suit of 5 million shillings, and I say that you're wasting money, that is a clear sign that I have poverty mentality. Clear.
Yes.
Like if you want to know you have poverty mentality, you've ever told someone that he's wasting personal money. Now, if it is public money, it's different.
Yes.
If it is money for government, money for
organization.
an organization, that's different.
Yes.
But if it is personal money,
yes,
and I say, Akena, why do you buy that car instead of buying this car?
Yes.
You're wasting money. That shows that I have a poverty spirit.
Yes.
By spirit, I don't mean a spirit which can be
just cast
I mean
away.
That my soul, my soul is rich in poverty. Because why do you? It means you serve a poor God.
Yes.
Let me tell you, if you serve the God that we serve,
yes.
Imagine if somebody went to fetch water from the lake, let's say Lake Victoria.
Yes.
We've gone to fetch water. Then somebody goes with a bottle. He'll fill his bottle.
Yes.
Then somebody goes with a basin.
Yes.
He'll fill their basin.
Yes.
Somebody goes with a drum, pipa.
Yes.
He'll fill his pipa.
Yes.
Then somebody goes with these trucks, these huge trucks.
Yeah.
They'll fill their trucks. And after all of them have filled all their trucks, the lake will still not have diminished.
Yes.
The lake will still be there with as much water as possible.
Mm.
That is the God. I'm just trying to give you some sort of picture.
Yes.
Although even this is so small.
Of course.
But, I'm just trying to give you a
perspective,
picture.
Yeah.
Perspective. That is the God we serve.
Yes.
So if for you, you've gone with a bottle.
Yeah. You should not tell the other
don't
one.
Tell somebody who has gone with a truck, these water trucks.
You are going to finish the water.
That you're going to finish the water. The water is still there.
Or you're wasting.
Wasting. Yeah. No. He can't even draw water to go and swim.
Yes.
If for you just want to drink, that's your problem.
Mm.
If somebody wants to draw water to go and swim, because the lake is going to still be there, and nobody will come and say, people have overdrawn from this lake, now it has reduced. No, it is not going to reduce. So now, that is the example you have to understand. That when people go to God, they will get in accordance to what their soul can contain. So if your soul right now is a bottle of water, like the size of mineral water bottle.
Yes.
Some have, there are these small ones. They are they are the half liter ones.
Yes,
Like usually the Rezori ones.
Yes.
Then they are the 1.5 liter ones, the big ones.
Yes.
Now they are all those are levels at which people will go and draw. But the water is here. It's in abundance. It's your container, which is your soul, which determines where you are placed in all of this.
Yes.
Now that's why we have concentrated so much on expand your container.
Yes.
And there will be enough for God to feel
it.
And he's not going to be diminished.
Yes.
Even if the whole world, all his children, came with big trucks to feel, he is not going to be diminished.
Yes.
So don't go and tell somebody who had a big truck and is drawing water to go and swim, and put somewhere and swim, that you're wasting water.
No,
you're the one who has a small container.
Yes.
So you go and concentrate on getting a bigger container.
Yes.
So now people go, so somebody's container can only afford day-to-day living. God, if you can pay my rent and, get me school fees, you've blessed me.
Yes.
And, you get that.
Yes.
Not because it's the best God can do,
no.
But it's because the best
what
you can receive.
Yes.
That's your container. Then somebody comes and says, God, me, I don't want to pay rent. I want to actually own a house.
Yes.
Now, I'm believing God for a house, and they actually expand their soul to the point of ownership of a house. Then they will own a house, and own it, but that's their level.
Yeah.
Then another one comes and says, I don't just want to own the house I live in.
Mm.
I want to have properties which are mine. I want to be a property mogul.
Yes.
And they expand their soul accordingly.
Yes.
Then they get there.
Yes.
It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
As long as you expand your soul.
Mm.
Then somebody says, I want my business to dominate this town.
Yes.
Or this city, let's say you live in Gulu City.
Yes.
I want to be the biggest, business in this.
Yeah.
Then after that, you say, no, I'm expanding.
Mm.
I want to be the biggest in Northern Uganda.
Mm.
Then afterwards, you say, no, I'm expanding. I want to be the biggest in Uganda.
Yes.
Like, it is all, and when you have done all that, the Lord God whom we serve is not diminished at all.
No.
He can never be diminished.
No.
You can, even if the, all his children came for that, he would still be having as much as you found him at the beginning.
Yes.
He's the source that never runs dry.
No.
So now, I hope this analogy helps you to, you know, to understand what we are talking about.
Yes, because now you see, when people start looking at someone who is utilizing and lavishing the blessing of God upon themselves, they start to picture and say, this person is wasting money. Mm. And yet, that's not the case.
And they get angry.
Yes. It is how the person has prospered himself and expanded this container. And now he is walking in such prosperity, such level of prosperity. Now, you, because you see, I liked what you spoke about earlier, that you realized the problem. And then you said, now I'm going to work on myself.
Yes.
And then you worked on yourself. And that was, that is like a blessing.
If I had not worked on myself,
yes,
I can guarantee you I would not be where I am right now.
Yes.
If I'd still been there attributing wonderful life to the devil, I would not be where I am right now. But I decided, I was saying somebody serves the devil just because he's rich. And then I found out later that he's even born again. He even attends a church.
Wow.
Yeah. A church which I know here in Kampala.
Yes.
And he's one of the members of the church. And I was like, what a shame on me.
Yes.
Shame upon me.
Mm.
How can I be that? That my soul was so small, the size of a fist.
Yes.
So I said, now I'm going to concentrate on expanding my soul. Now, the reason people get angry when they see people celebrating their prosperity is because they don't see that they have a path to it.
Yeah.
If you see that you have a path to it, you will not get angry.
No.
You'll get inspired.
Yeah. That's the case.
Now, after when I started expanding my soul, I started seeing people who are living wonderful lives. And I was like, I have to be like these people.
Yes.
And now, I wasn't angry. I used to want to be around them.
Yes.
Because they were inspiring me.
Yeah.
Then because I know they serve the same God. And the God we serve is not a respecter of persons. He has no favorites. God does not have any favorites. Anybody who does what the word says will get the same results. They are no, the word is to whom it may concern.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
If it concerns you and you act accordingly, you become a beneficiary.
Yes.
If you decide not to, if I decided to stay there attributing worth to the devil, I would be in a very bad place now. And I would be angry, bitter. And I'm repeating this because I know so many people. So many people might be in that place. So now, if you know people who have expanded, and at least they are getting Benson's food, and for you, you're still at the feast. You're gathering. For me, I didn't even have a mineral water bottle. I was getting in my
hand.
In my hand, scooping with my hand. I was that was a really, really small soul. Then I expanded, and I'm still expanding. There is never any end in this expanding. So, remember it says in Mark chapter 4, verse 14, it says the sower sows the word. Very important. The sower sows the word. Now it says, the kingdom of God is as a man should scatter seed, the word, that is seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day. And the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how.
Yes.
For the earth yields crops by itself. First the blade, then the head, and after the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately it puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Now, I'm telling you a scripture, this scripture here, which transformed my life. Because Jesus, in a very brief 4 verses, describes how the kingdom of God works. This is true for everything.
Everyone.
This is like telling you how does it work. This is how the kingdom of God works.
Yes.
If you want it to work for you, these are the Mark chapter 4, verse 26 to 29. Four verses. That's it. So I started sowing the word, sowing the word. And I would go, and sometimes you sow the word in relation to what it is you want.
Yes.
Okay? In relation to what it is you want.
Yes.
I've dealt with people who are suffering from sicknesses, some of them.
Yes.
And I tell them that, now just go and get the scripture which talks about healing.
Yes.
And surround yourself with it. Surround yourself with messages of healing. Now you're sowing a seed.
Yes.
That seed will give birth to healing. Now you might not feel that you have I was praying for somebody the other day.
Yes.
Who had HIV.
Yes.
I said, do you have the faith to be healed? The person said, no, the truth is I don't have. I have very little. I said, that's okay. Now, what you do, go and just get the word of God concerning healing. And now just start eating it.
Yes.
In just, do you know, in that's in the book of Matthew.
Yes.
When you read the things Jesus healed, the times he healed, when he healed everybody, various sicknesses, various... There are like seven times in Matthew where he healed people of all their sicknesses. Seven times. That's in the book of Matthew. All their sicknesses. And then you read that, you read that. It starts becoming alive. Then you who felt that you can't, suddenly it starts saying, maybe I can. Maybe. Now your soul in the area of healing is expanding.
It affects your soul.
And the word of God has this effect. I wish to point you that the word of God has that effect. It transforms your what you see as possibilities. Then there are people who are expert teachers on healing. You go and listen to them. Listen to some messages by men of God who are experts on healing. When you're home, on your phone, just put on. When you're idle, just go to YouTube. Now we have so many advantages. Just go to YouTube. Get some good, powerful message on people who listen to healing, healing. And now you're sowing a seed. And that seed is going to, when the sickle comes, the grain ripens, you will go and they will just lay hands on you and you'll be healed. But you see, it might not be, you know, because you don't have no, you don't believe, like you don't, you want to believe it, but you don't believe it. It's at a distance from you. And you want to bring it closer, 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 until now it's in your bosom. Then now you're ready to be healed. Now the word of God can change. And I'm not talking just about a word which is in the scriptures. Even a word which is spoken. Like a message. Which is given by a man of God. Can transform and can give forth what that message is saying. As a transference from what that person to you. Now, there are people who anybody can go and get scriptures talking about healing and they preach about them. But there are people who have experienced healing and they have prayed for people who have healing. So now when you're listening to them, you're not just listening to the words. You're listening to the experience. You're listening to everything that they carry, which they have built over so many years. And now by just listening to them, you're chewing everything they have. And then within a short time, it you know, you can get the faith that they have and then you get healed. That's just an example. Or people who have, like, you know, who have expanded their soul in the area, let's say, of finances. And you can go and get all scriptures which talk about, you know, finances and all that. But when somebody has experienced it, it's more powerful.
Because he speaks from where he stands.
And you can tell the difference. Somebody who is speaking from knowledge and somebody who is speaking from experience. Because it's totally different. That's what the people in Israel said about Jesus. That he speaks as one with authority. Like, not like the Pharisees. The Pharisees talk about things they don't know. But then Jesus comes and says, but no, he's speaking differently. Because for him, when he tells them about the kingdom of God, he knows. He's not just telling them what Moses said and what, but he's just telling him what he has. And people can tell the difference and say that he's not like the Pharisees because for him he speaks with authority. Now, when somebody has prayed for healing and healed so many sick people and maybe even themselves had healing and so on, when they speak with authority. And you can tell, this is not somebody who is just talking. This is somebody who knows what he's talking about. And now, that is true of somebody. Now, you might listen to somebody who will get scriptures and scriptures, and it will help because you get scriptures. But it can be more powerful when you listen to somebody who is...
gone through it and seen it and has experienced it, actually has had enough time and enough experiences in the same area.
For them to be in a position to speak with authority. Now, there's something else I want us here to talk about. Go to Philemon. Pause later. About Philemon.
All right.
Verse 6.
Okay, Philemon 1, verse 6. It says that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Say, read it again.
That the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now, this is a very, very powerful principle. Because you see, people do not have faith in areas because they are not acknowledging the things that they already have in Christ Jesus.
Mm.
Okay? Imagine if somebody got born again and told nobody. And I mean, I got born again in my heart. Have you confessed it to anyone? No, I have not. But I know I'm born again. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time before that light extinguishes.
Yeah. Mm.
But when he comes and says, hey, people, I actually received the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm now born again. Mm. Then he goes and finds a church to attend. Then that's how it grows.
Yeah.
Because he has acknowledged the salvation which is inside him.
Yes.
Now, the King James says that the communication of your faith may be effectual through the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. Now, you are acknowledging something which is in you, not which is going to be in you, which is already in you.
Yes.
Now, everything that you want is already in you. Now, if you want faith for something, you have to communicate that it is in you. Now, I'll give you an example. If somebody just woke up every day without faith, and said that I am blessed, I am super blessed, I abound, I have everything I need, God has given me everything I need, His divine power has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness, blessed be the Lord God of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed me with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for even though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that we through his poverty might become rich, or God is able to make all this grace abound towards you, so that you, so that I, always being, you know, always
have
all sufficiency in all things, and have an abundance for every good work. Then you wake up and say, God, I thank you because I have an abundance. I thank you because you've blessed me. I am so blessed. I am so abounding. I have everything I need. Even when you do not have anything, you don't even have money to have anything for breakfast.
Yes.
That is not relevant. What is relevant is that inside you, now your faith will become effective when you start speaking what is inside you rather than what is outside of you. Outside of you, you don't have money for breakfast. Inside of you, you are rich because Jesus died that you be rich. So don't talk what is outside. Talk what is inside.
The communication.
The communication of your faith is effective when you acknowledge that I thank you, Lord, because I'm blessed. I'm going to heaven. I have what, and I'm blessed in this earth. I have everything I need.
Yes.
I abound. You know, I am healed.
Yes.
Outside, you might not be.
Yes.
But inwards, you are healed.
Yes.
Because by His stripes you are healed. Now you just acknowledge.
Yes.
Everything, every good thing that is in you in Christ.
Yes.
And you do it consistently. Now, of course, the trouble with many of people in the church is that they don't do things consistently.
Yeah.
They will listen to this message and maybe do it for 3 or 4 days, and then they stop. But I can guarantee you that I remember a church where I went and preached from Colossians chapter 1. Let me even get that scripture. It's because I liked it. It says,
Colossians
chapter 1.
Yes.
Start from verse 12.
Colossians 1:12 says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light.
Yeah, now, so this is so many years ago. I went and I preached and I said, do you know that you're qualified to be a partaker of the inheritance? And you see now the problem people have is they disqualify themselves. Sometimes even the messages they listen disqualify them. And yet, actually, the scripture says it is God Himself who qualified us. No, it did not need your permission. The only thing you come, you do receive Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the minute you accept His Son, Jesus Christ, you're already qualified. Because you're a son of God.
Yes.
So I gave them an example. I told them there was a rich man who had just died that time, a very renowned man who was an industrialist. And he had just died at the time. So I told them, imagine I went to the reading of the will of this rich man. And I said that, but his sons are not as sharp as me. I am sharper. I am more intelligent. I am more studied. Does that qualify me to be a partaker of his inheritance?
No.
The only qualification you need is to be a son. If you're not a son, even if you're the brightest person in the world, you will not qualify for the inheritance. Okay? The only qualification for inheritance is to be a son.
Yes.
And that, of course, also means a daughter.
Yes.
Now, only. Mm. There is no other qualification.
Yes.
By the way, even in our laws, if I gave an inheritance to some of my sons and left one out, he will contest it in court and court will dismiss my will. Because every son of mine who is a provable son of mine has to have an inheritance.
Yes.
You see? Now, and the only qualification they need is to be a son. Now, if people only knew that, that there is an inheritance which God has for you, and you qualified.
Yes.
There is only one condition. Are you a son?
Yes.
If the answer is yes, you're qualified.
Yes.
So I started telling the people in the church, you walk around like you're qualified. Walk like you're qualified.
Yes.
You know, start talking like you're qualified, that I have an inheritance in Christ of wealth, of what
blessing.
I'm qualified. Now, some people would come and say, no. If you're... If you're not doing this right, if you're not doing this right, you're not, you're even if the son decided not to go to school and is a vagabond, is a drug addict, if he's not in the inheritance, it is null and void as long as he's a son.
Yes.
So I said, don't disqualify yourself.
Yeah.
If you're a son of God, you qualify.
Yes.
That's what the scripture says. And who qualified you?
God.
The Father.
Yes.
Not yourself.
Yes.
Not yourself.
As the qualification is being a son.
Now, Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. He has qualified us. Not he is going to qualify us. He has qualified us. So, now that when I read that, I was like, these are some of the scriptures I would meditate on those days. I said, what? So, actually, God has already qualified me. So, I'm qualified. There is nobody in the whole world who can tell me I'm not.
No.
So, in other words, if you go and sit for an exam, and the examiner says you have passed, you have no right to say I've failed.
No.
Is it your exam? Hey, if the examiner says you have passed, now you proceed to the next level. Then you come and say, but I don't think I sat very well. No, I am the examiner. I told you you've passed. So go ahead. So now God is the examiner. And he has said you have qualified. For what? For the inheritance. Now, I saw people excited. But the trouble is, they get excited for a short time. Then afterwards, people come and disqualify them. And then they start feeling inferior, they start feeling they don't deserve the best, they start feeling there's something that they have to do which they are not already doing, and so on and so forth. Now, of course, we have things which we are pursuing in God, but the truth is we already qualified, and nobody should disqualify you. It is, you're qualified as long as you're a child of God. Anyhow, so I want to read one final scripture. You go to Mark chapter 11. There's something here that is important, which I want to end with. Before Mark chapter 11, start from verse 23.
Okay, it says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.
Now, I just want that last part of this. The sentence. He will have
whatever he says.
Now, I wish people would just know that. That's what I was telling about the communication of your faith.
Yes.
May be effectual.
Yes.
Through the acknowledging of every good thing.
Mm.
Now, people use their tongue to say what they have. But Jesus says, you will have what you say.
Yes.
He doesn't say what you have.
No.
So if what you have is brokenness, if what you have is poverty, if what you have is... Don't say that.
Yes.
You say what you want to see, what you want to have.
Yes.
Now, he says just that. He will have...
Whatever he says, he will have.
Now that is a very whatever he says he will have. So now I don't have breakfast because I don't have money for it. But I don't say that because I don't want to use my mouth to say what I have. I want to use my mouth to say what I want to have. Now my mouth will move away from my current situation and project and say, God, I thank you because I'm blessed, because I abound, I have everything I need. The best things in this world are mine because I'm a child of yours. The world and the creation thereof were made by you and for Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the word says that. He made everything for his son Jesus. And Jesus Christ chose us to be joint heirs with him. So we share the inheritance. So the whole world belongs to Jesus and us. Because Jesus brought us as brothers to share the inheritance. Now, I start confessing all these things. I have an inheritance. I am qualified to, you know, have an inheritance with Jesus Christ. And I communicate. And then my faith starts becoming high. Mm. And then I don't say what I have. I realize that I will have what I say. Mm. So I watch my words.
Yes.
I will never say I am broke, even if that might be the reality in my pocket.
Yes.
It is not the reality in the word of
yeah.
God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because if I say that, then I have actually, you've made it permanent.
Yeah.
It was a temporary situation.
Yes. Mm.
And you've made it permanent by speaking it out.
Yes.
Now, if people knew that, that everything you say, the idea is for you to say it and okay, you make it. Not permanent, really, but you've entrenched it.
Yes.
You can unsay it
yes.
by saying the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Eh? Mm. But you've what was like a small situation.
Yes.
Eh? If I woke up in the morning and I had no money to go by, that's when I'm going to be confessing the scriptures of blessing
yes.
more. Because I do not, my blessing is not dependent on my wallet
no.
or my bank account. Mm. No, it is based on the word of God.
Yes.
Yeah, never. Mm. Those are inconsequential.
Yes, they can
because
change.
I confessed blessing when I had zero money, when I had zero accounts.
Yes.
I confessed blessing. Okay?
Yes.
So now, even if those accounts were empty, and I had no money, well, it is not based on those accounts.
Mm.
I was blessed before them.
Before, yes.
Yeah. So, now when people understand that, just that he will have whatever he says. Just concentrate on that.
Mm.
You say, you will have.
Mm.
Say, I will have whatever I say.
Yes.
I will. Not that I have,
yes.
I will.
Mm.
But you say it like you actually have it. Because you actually have it
yes.
in the spirit.
Mm.
Now when you confess it, and your faith, the communication of your faith becomes effective
yes.
by you acknowledging it.
Yes.
And then you have whatever you say. It's just a matter of time.
Yes.
Now, if you knew that, you'd know that you're sowing seed by speaking. Speaking.
Yes.
Speaking. You just read the word of God, sow your seed.
Yes.
You water it with your words.
Words.
Mm? Mm. Then the harvest is going to come.
Yes.
The seed is sown by you receiving the word.
Yes.
The seed is watered by you confessing
the word.
Every good thing that you have in Christ, the word.
Yes.
And then the harvest comes.
Yes.
I hope that is helping somebody here today because we are going to continue with a bit of this. Because if actually, as I said before, it's possible like even 10% of the policemen will actually go and put this in practice. But if they did, after some time they will come and acknowledge that it did actually have an impact in their lives.
Mm.
I think we've come to an end of this. So can I give us the last word?
Okay. Still, I would say that what you've been declaring and teaching us today, it is practical.
Mm.
And that's, I believe that's where you're seeing us to go into. We are not now in theory. We're in practical, like Christianity. So whatever things you listeners, you have been listening right now, they are very practical and you're supposed to put it in practice. Make sure that every day you are declaring something about, you are sowing a word into your soul and you are declaring, speaking what you are about, what you want, whatever things you want to have, speak it. Not the things, your conditions, limitations which you have, but what you want to see in your life. Declare you're blessed, declare, get a promise in the scripture, get something and hang on to it and keep on sowing. And as the word says, that whatever things you declare, you shall have it. Therefore, you will have it.
Okay.
Amen.
Thank you very much. I think we'll end it there.
Yes.
And you can proceed and just pray for the sick.
All right. Okay. In the name of Jesus Christ, if you are sick of any disease, I want you to believe that now you are getting healed. And in the name of Jesus, I speak to that sickness in your body. I command it out in the mighty name of Jesus. Afflictions, I command it out in the name of Jesus. I command every demonic oppression out of you in the name of Jesus, and I set you free right now in the mighty name of Jesus, and you are covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen.
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 Amen. God bless you all. Amen. Have a wonderful evening.
That was The Watchman. Tune in next week to connect to the anointing upon The Watchman. You can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, on TikTok at The Watchman Ministries, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email using info@UGWatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, how to give The Watchman magazine, books by The Watchman and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.